Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Okay,
what was that?
So, there's a really cool song called Feel Your Weight. I've been listening to, and it came from... We were just hanging out on the front balcony, sunset, beautiful.
Down in
Darlington. Oh. Or up in Darlington. And... you know, I was like, I just want some cool background music. So I went to Potato Head, and they have, you know, lots
all
of
their
albums,
background.
All their background music. So we put some of that on, and there was a great song on there called Feel Your Weight. Ooh, I feel your body falling. It's just that's it. It's so good. I absolutely love it. That'll go on like that for a while. But if you get it's I really love it. If you get a chance and you're sitting on your balcony, just turn the stereo up.
It's my favorite place to be.
Non-alcoholic pina colada. Stick that on.
Well, I'm not necessarily off the alcohol. I don't have it very often.
No, you don't even drink.
I don't even drink properly.
I saw you have one of those fucking... What is that Italian stuff, the yellow stuff? The minute you had it, you go all red and everything.
What's it called? Limoncello.
Oh, yeah. But that stuff is fucking like 60% alcohol. You have like a tiny shooter of it and it's like, good night, Irene. Two of them and you're...
No, I don't drink very often, but when I drink, I do it. Yeah. That's over. Normally Christmas time, I go in and have a few drinks, but not really other than that.
Anyway, great song, great tune.
There you go.
It's good
That's
to find
good for my good, balcony then.
Yeah, it's good to find good background music that you would think,
just
chill
stuff.
Head, you know, anywhere like coup d'etat stuff, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. I love being in Bali and chilling with, so good.
Having some music.
Gonna go back to Bali this year. Haven't been for a couple of
years. The kids just sent me the other day. Can we go back to Bali? I want to go to Bali. And I'm like,
all right.
The last time they were there, they were fucked. Excuse my French. They were really like a nightmare.
Yes,
they were in that nightmare shithead phase. You know, like you're just being a shithead.
Maybe it was reflective of you.
Oh, maybe. Mm. Maybe.
Also, you were a bit not really central. You were really out in Whoop Whoop and you were at Club Med, and I don't know about that.
Club Med. This was afterwards. We had an apartment. We were in Seminyak.
Oh,
but Seminyak
else.
Is just like, it's dreadful. Now.
I like it. I like it.
I love Seminyak as well. I like Changi. I love all those places, but it's so populated.
It is very busy now, 100%.
Yeah. You go to the other end of town. What's that place where Kuta? Kuta is dead.
Oh, yeah.
They're never
gone
recovered.
Now. Anyway. Okay, so talk to us. What are we talking about?
We're going to talk about habits, but not really habits. It's more behaviors of people who have money. You know, it's some of the things that they do.
Of successful people, wealthy people.
Wealthy people, people who have made it financially.
Okay, go.
And one of the
What do you think is number one?
Well, I think what I got from... So I spent a bit of time from about the age 25 to 26. I spent about a year literally targeting people who had a lot of money.
And like making an effort to go and have conversations with them.
And I just found that was a really, really, really rich experience. It's one of the things for years I got my own clients to do. Find people in your life that have money and hang with them. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I saw they did was diversification with their wealth. So diversifying their money into other things.
Put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, not putting your eggs into one basket and pushing yourself. You know, they were, you know, the minute you had a certain amount of money, leaving it in a bank where you're getting 2.8%, you know, after tax and everything else was really, they were like, don't do that. Get your money, always have a safety net, always have a financial safety net.
Yeah, you always have to have the liquidity, which is what we teach.
Because, liquid is king. Always have a financial safety net, but then allow yourself to take risks. And I was just with one of my staff members the other day, one of the team, and we were sitting talking. And I was talking about a project that I'm doing, and she was like, you know, one of the things, Mitch, is that it's very difficult for people to take risks. Mm-hmm. But she said, one of the things that you clearly did throughout your life is you took risks. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about taking risks is your risks have to be educated and they have to be calculated and they have to be in alignment with what you love.
But also, I'm going to add to that, they also you have to earn the right to take the risk.
Oh, yeah.
Because
if
you're, like we teach in the Wealth Principles, if you're just, you know, you've got a little bit in there, there's no safety net and you're just risking it, you're actually so emotional that it's, you're not going to get ahead. You need to have that stability and create the emotional safety net, and then you earn the right to level up in terms of the risk that you take.
Yeah, and I just found, you know, so, and what's important is you, because I watch people take risks with crypto, with, you know, and they get pumped and dumped, and I watch people take risks with stocks and shares, and they get fucking, they get smashed. And for me, like, that is okay for some people, because, you know, they, you know, anybody who I know trades or trades crypto, like properly trades, has really fucking spent years studying it, like years and years and years studying it. They've lost, they've gained, but eventually they find this sweet spot, you know what I mean? And they find this way to navigate through the fucking thicks of it, because it is thick, and it has really benefited them, right? So, but what I found is that for me, property was very good, because property was something I could go down and touch and walk on, you know. So people think, oh, I'll run out and buy property. No, it was, you know, there's a lot of time and effort put into any property that we got to buy. You know, we do I do a full feasibility study on it. It needs to hit a certain percentage. I don't know whether I got lucky the first time, but I just remember the first one that I ever did in terms of diversifying cash into property. I just happened to buy a big lot, and I happened to, the house happened to be on the right position, and so I was able to get in and subdivide it and do all that sort of stuff, which is magic. I mean, that's obviously, that was when I was bitten, but what I found the golden goose. But the thing about diversification is there's luck is preparedness meeting opportunity. Be prepared to meet the opportunity.
Yep. And so you're not, I think you have to be very clear when you're talking about risk, that you're not just saying carte blanche, here, take a risk.
Oh, fuck.
It's very, it's very educated.
Yeah.
And it's very calculated. So there is a, the more that you earn and the more that you make and the more that you've saved and the more emotional safety net you've got, the more, like we have said, that you have the ability to, or you've earned the right to take more and more risk. But even so, when you're taking a risk, everything is a risk, because it's you're investing in something or whatever. Everything has a level of risk. Nothing is absolute 100%, you know, guaranteed. Having said that, your understanding of what you're getting involved in is so clear, it's so educated, and it's calculated, like you've said, that the downside is minimized, right? Mm. And so it's not just, like I said, carte blanche, just go in and take a risk. It's actually do your work, but don't just sit, don't just wait. And this is one of the things we've been talking about recently, is don't wait when it's your turn. That's one of the blocks to, you know, I did a call in the Mindset Club about this, about the 8 blocks of, you know, to wealth, you know, and one of them is waiting when it's your turn. And that involves not putting yourself on the line, not making yourself uncomfortable in any way, and that is not taking a risk. So the risk is about, yes, putting yourself out there, taking those steps, taking those measures.
Yeah, the other thing is calculated risk, you know, not getting everything and dumping it into one place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like having a set amount that goes, okay, this is the amount that I'm allowing myself to risk, and I'm risking it at this percentage or this rate, level.
So it must be educated. It's not just, I'm just going to throw it all out there.
Now, I know that some people listen to this sort of stuff sometime and think, oh, I just can't be fucked, I'll just keep, you know, and that's okay. That's fine for you. That's okay. Mm-hmm. If that's where you live, that's okay. Nobody's saying don't do that. But there is a great educational reward that goes when you start to calculate the risks, because when you gravitate towards going, okay, I want to be able to diversify, create another pillar of income, diversify, build a property portfolio, build a stock portfolio, crypto portfolio. When you start to move into those fields, it doesn't mean getting into those fields you should invest immediately. It means stopping and knowing when you go to do it, it's just nuts and bolts. There's no emotion. Whenever somebody's trying to go, oh, this is the fucking deal of the century, you got to come do it, you got to run a mile from that stuff. There is no fucking deal of the century.
Mm-hmm.
There's no quick money. There's no quick fix. It's not there. Mm-hmm. It just, over the years, it is not there. I've burned millions of dollars, you know, in my early years doing that sort of stuff, you know, getting hooked in like that.
Mm-hmm.
But just take your time, you know, and you will find that there's, you know, there's, there's people out there that that's their thing. They will, you will find your groove. You'll realize, oh, actually, I actually feel quite comfortable about doing this. Using the Z form of calibration process to be able to make sure you're not emotional allows you to tap into that sense of intelligence and that sense of knowing that you know that what, no matter what you do, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's also and you know how you actually have a make calculated risks. You know.
Yeah. 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 So it's not just throwing it all out there.
Oh, shit, no.
It's not going, oh, everybody else made money. I'm just going to give it a go. It's none of that.
No, 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 no.
It's
no.
Very much, if it's your thing, go for it, learn and take the chance and have the backing of the emotional stability.
Yeah, okay.
Good. So taking risks. Another one is, for me, particularly in, because I'm working so much and so closely with people who are working on their wealth all of the time, is that having that emotional stability and having a system that takes away the emotion. And the more and more that people use a system and don't let their emotions run their finances, the more wealthy, that more opportunities for wealth find them.
Well, if money is running your energy, right, is if money is affecting your energy, then you're not able to channel your energy where you need to channel it. The reason you have a system is because it allows you to feel the freedom of what having money actually feels like anyway. So it's like a hack, you know, it's like a short circuit. It allows you to feel the freedom of what it's like to have money because you're not emotional about it. Because people who have money are not emotional about money. Well, hang on, let me correct that. They just have, the emotion that they have around it is based on inspiration, not on desperation.
Yeah, it's not running their finances.
It's not
system.
Running their finances. So they feel like this sense of certainty around where their money is. They're not worried about bills or cars or fines or any of that sort of stuff because they know the system takes care of that. So therefore, if the system is taking care of that, I'm not worried when I go to the till. If the system is taking care of that, I'm not worried when I go to the pump. If the system is taking care of that, I'm not worried when I go to the letterbox and pull out a fine. They understand that all of that stuff is taken care of. So they don't have petty worries. So therefore, they're able to channel their energy into what it is they want to create and what it is they actually want to build, which is
that's the whole reason that we do what we do is because it's not about the money. It's about getting money out of the way so that it becomes a tool and not the focus.
Yeah. And the reward of that, what people don't understand, is that the reward of that is greater opportunity. But what people think is what happens with the masses is they go, well, when the opportunity turns up, then I'll get it right. Then I'll behave this way. Then I'll behave like I'm wealthy when I get when the money turns
up. When the money shows up.
And it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Because money flows to where it is. Money is energy currency, and it flows to the greatest level of organization. So if you're really meticulous, if you are operating your money like if you dropped $10 million into your accounts, you wouldn't get emotional. If you're operating your money like that, that's how money comes to you. And it's an energy game. So money's trying to come to you all the time. But the degree to which you have it, like if you're on 150 grand a year and you've got five kids or three kids, you're fucking struggling. And so you got money coming to you, but money equals struggle. But when you organize your money and there is no struggle, therefore, more opportunity and more money comes to you. Now, and the fantastic thing that we get to do because of our career is that we get to see that happen for people.
Like, oh, I love that.
And the other thing is like, I honestly fucking pursue phone calls at least once or twice a week to talk to people because I know when
you
get on to
hear the wins.
I want to hear the wins. When I get on to them, they're going to go, hey, you're not going to believe what happened. I love that statement because my response is always, no, I will.
I will.
So, yeah, that's
I agree. I love that too. I know you don't fully want to get into it because you know that we do this to death, but also a very important habit or a thing that people who are wealthy do is that they focus on their savings and it's the first thing that they do. They put their focus and their energy into the long-term vision and that's what savings does.
Because it just shows a high level of financial intelligence.
So they're paying themselves first.
Even if it's
they're paying their future.
And the other thing is that it's the one point that I have to fucking smash people in the face with all the time. It's not about the amount. It's not about, it's about the principle. It's about the fact that you're just doing it. Even if it's only a cent, I don't care.
Well, it's not just even, it's the fact that that's following the way that we show them to do it is not just, hey, you're just putting an amount in every week. We're showing them how to push themselves and how to drive themselves like they would a corporation. So they're constantly in charge of their own growth instead of letting life be in charge of their growth, instead of letting circumstances or the external world they're taking charge of it, and that makes all of the difference.
Yeah.
And wealthy people do that. They're not sitting. So this is another thing. Wealthy people make choices. That doesn't mean they don't think about, they're not educated in the choices that they make, but they don't sit waiting for ages and ages and ages before they move, right? They're not waiting when it's their turn. So if you are what this does is it's constantly making sure that you have got that understanding that you're putting yourself first. You're saying number one is me here, and then I keep my focus on what it is that I'm here to do, purpose.
It says I have the deepest amount of appreciation
for myself.
For myself, because I have the deepest amount of discipline that I do this all of the time. Yeah. That's all I do. It's a bit like that great statement by Bruce Lee, you're better to do one thing 10,000 times as opposed to 10,000 things once.
Mm-hmm.
You do one thing 10,000 times and you will become a fucking master at it.
Yeah.
You become a master of it after 20 weeks of doing it. You know, you start to go, fuck, I'm getting this thing, because it's harnessing out of you parts of yourself that you never knew you had, that you infatuated with in people that have money. Oh, these guys are so disciplined. You know, these guys are so, they're so organized. They're so, you know.
I think my view on that is that people want the freedom around the money.
Mm.
And they look to other people and they say, this person has freedom to be able to go and do what they want to do. They don't realize that discipline leads to freedom.
Mm.
And therefore, they think that the freedom comes with just doing whatever you want. No, actually, your discipline and being disciplined is what creates freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when you have this understanding that you can just do whatever you want and da-da-da, and you think that that's freedom, right? It's not, because when you make things hard for yourself, things become easy. When you try and live life easy, things become hard. So if you choose the hard, the discipline, if you choose to create a system for yourself and stick to that system that includes paying yourself first, it includes appreciating yourself, it includes sticking to a plan, right, and taking away the emotions, the freedom comes from that. If you want to happen in reverse, yes, you'll get the ease of just being able to spend money wherever you want, da, 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 but the hard comes later.
But the other thing that happens is that when people see that for other people and they go, what happens for the person is they go, well, if my life was like that, then I'd feel free. The minute you do that, you're trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom happens in the choice of how you see things right now.
Yeah.
Freedom comes when you stop and push yourself to realize whatever it is you're seeing in them, you have it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You just are not appreciative of the fact that you have it because you want it to look like them.
Yeah.
When you do that, as I say all the time, you're creating two of them and none of you. So this is why people get fucking lost. You get fucking lost because you want to be like someone else. You can't be like someone else. There's only fucking one of you.
Mm-hmm.
Just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just be you.
Yeah.
And stop and go, okay, so what am I appreciative of about me?
Yeah.
No matter what the fuck is going on,
yeah.
What is it I know that I deliver to the world that has value,
mm-hmm.
that other people appreciate in me?
Mm-hmm.
Stop and harness levels of self-worth that allow you to feel highly fucking accomplished,
mm-hmm.
no matter who you are or where you are. And that stops you from making comparisons, because I fucking promise you, that person that you want to be like, you wouldn't want to be in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want to be like them because you don't know who they are. And if you did that and you were like them, you lose your family, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, all your accomplishments, everything you've ever done. And now you're a fucking imposter as someone else. And that's a really unwise thing to
do. Yeah. Got it. Okay, what are the habits of wealthy people? We've covered paying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Another really good one is hang with wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you have to understand something. Money and wealth are mutually exclusive. So the great Buckminster Fuller said that. I studied Bucky from the age of 29 through to 31.
So 100 years ago.
18 years ago. 18 months I spent approximately within that time period studying his teachings. And he was fucking amazing. But he said... wealth and money are mutually exclusive. Money is a byproduct of wealth. And hanging with wealthy people means you hang with people that have made it in the way that you want to make
mm-hmm.
it. Does that make sense? And what you'll find is that when you find those people and you ask to hang out with them and spend time with them, they love it.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it. And they will want to spend time with you.
So
and
you're basically...
But yeah, also things like, if they're driving a car that you want to drive, go and fucking drive the car. Mm-hmm. Go to every fucking car yard within your city or your state, mm-hmm. and drive that car, mm-hmm. until they get pissed off. Drive it for a day here. Spend a day. I'm going to go 5 different car yards that I know has this car, mm-hmm. and go and drive that car. Mm-hmm. If you want to live in a wealthy suburb, go to the suburb. Mm-hmm. Go into home opens in that suburb.
So proximity, basically.
Absolutely.
Be around the energy that you want to resonate with.
Yeah. Hang where they're hanging. Do what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't care how you do it.
Yeah, so if you want to be in that space where you're in a wealthy mindset and you're constantly around people who are telling you you're not going to be there, or people around you, even if they're not telling you, but they're behaving like they're not going to make it. You pick up on that energy. You live in that energy. So you want to be around people that are matching the energy that you want to create.
Yeah, get those people out of your fucking life, mm-hmm. man. Like, get them out of your life.
Yeah.
That you don't want to be around that
stuff. You don't realize, I suppose, how much that influences
you. Well,
it's
sticky. Energy is fucking sticky.
Yeah.
You know, your words are sticky. What you're hearing is sticky.
Yeah.
My daughter said something the other day, and I immediately turned to her and I said, man, you got to watch what you're...
Yeah, she told me. She said, Dad told me off about... self-worth. Is that, Lola?
Lola, yeah. I said, you have to understand, honey, you've got to value yourself, because what you're hanging out with people and what they're doing is sticky.
Yeah.
It sticks to you.
Yeah.
And then you're attracted to it, you know, because it sounds, they sound tougher. They sound, No. Just to fucking get that out of your life.
Yeah.
You want to be hanging with the people that are traveling the world, have greater insights, have big visions.
Yeah.
Are affecting people, are educating themselves, mm-hmm. have deep conversations, you know, but also you're able to have a laugh with them, mm-hmm. and you're able to have fun with them, and you're able to escape with them. You know, that's the mm-hmm. stuff that you want to be doing.
Yeah, agreed. What was I going to say? Another thing that I think is a very important a piece of the puzzle for wealthy people is people who are taking responsibility. Like, we've been talking a little bit about being submissive and not being submissive to money.
Yeah.
And dominant. Because when you allow something that is naturally submissive to dominate, you get the worst behavior from that thing.
Yeah.
So if you had a puppy, for example, and you know that in order for the puppy to step up and grow and da-da-da, you have to be dominant in order for that puppy to behave in the way you want it to behave. If you allow the puppy just to do whatever it wants to do, then you're going to get the worst behavior from it, because it is a submissive thing, right? By the same token, you have to be dominant when it comes to money, because money in itself is submissive. It is waiting to do your bidding, not the other way around. It's not trying to tell you what to do. So dominance does not mean I'm going to bend you over the barrel, I'm going to whack you. It means take responsibility for the part and the role that you play and step into your truth, step into your authenticity, step into your empoweredness, and through that money comes.
And money needs you to be dominant.
It does.
It's like a puppy. You know, I remember years ago we would open the door, and this is one of our trainers taught us this. We would open the door and the dog would go into the house first.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible mistake. And the trainer said, no, you have to stop the dog at the door and you have to go into the into the house first. Now, with our dogs, if we give them an inch, they just take a fucking mile. And they behave really fucking badly.
And then that bad behavior of the puppy does not reflect on the puppy. Anybody looking at that sees you as the problem, because you're the one who hasn't taken responsibility that the puppy is actually submissive in this instance.
Yep.
So, same goes with money.
So you haven't got money problems.
No, you've got you problems.
You've got you problems.
You've got not being able to take responsibility, thinking that money is the answer, putting money up here on the pedestal and saying, no, this is what I want my money to, this is how I want my money to behave. Right. This is how
That's
I want
That's a really good explanation, because you've said that a few times in terms of letting money dominate. And money dominating means that you've put money above yourself.
Yes.
When I have the money, then I'm going to be able to do this. When I have the money, then I'm going to be able to do that. Yeah. Okay. So what you got to do is you got to dominate the money.
Correct.
I put the money in its place.
This is what it's going to do. This is why our system works, because you're becoming dominant. But you're not dominant and saying, fuck you, da, 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 this is what it's going to be. It's like, no, I'm just taking responsibility. This is coming in and this is how I'm distributing it. Nobody else takes responsibility of my money. Nobody else takes responsibility. And money doesn't take responsibility. Money doesn't supersede my responsibility to organize myself. Does that make sense? So what happens is that when people also don't understand the purpose that money is going to give them, the outcome that money is going to give them, they will just try and stay comfortable, right? And wealthy people don't do that. Wealthy people want to step up. Wealthy people going to want to grow. So you have to understand that your purpose, I listened to and heard this the other day, your purpose has to supersede your discomfort. Your purpose has to be bigger than your discomfort. Because if your purpose is no bigger than your discomfort, this is why we talk about reasoning in terms of wealth, in terms of growing your wealth. If your purpose isn't bigger than your discomfort, you'll never grow. Does that make sense?
Just explain it a little.
Yeah, so if you don't have a reason to create wealth, right, you will just constantly stay comfortable. When you have a reason that's big enough, your reason, your purpose supersedes the discomfort that you might have to put into place.
Right, right.
So just even an example of how we play the games at Mastermind and Money, people play the games in a particular way and they just rebel against our concepts of, not rebel, but they get challenged about, you know, how
we... It brings up their behaviour. This is how you're fucking behaving.
And that behaviour is not a wealthy person's behaviour. A wealthy person does what's right, not what's popular. And what you've done is that you've behaved in this way because you've got this innermost dominant thought that's dominating you. And so you behave small and you let everybody else play the game and you don't play your game, right? And then when what happens is that their behavior is challenged by the way that we debrief them and we show them what's behind that behavior, right? Which is awesome. And then straight after that, and even though they've been challenged and they're like, I don't know about this, we make a comment to them. And the comment is something along the lines of, if you had a kid who needed an operation or if you had a kid who was requiring money in order to make them live and would you have played that game differently? And every single time the audience is like, fuck off. Because what they've just been shown is their mindset is playing small and keeping them comfortable. But if they had a reason that was bigger, it would supersede any discomfort that they would have had to play the game in the way that we explained to them that the game could have been played, right? Yep. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of your purpose is got to be so – it's got to supersede that discomfort.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. So that's another habit of wealthy people, that they actually take responsibility, and the taking of responsibility shows them that – they're in charge because nobody, because no one else is coming to save you. No one's here to say, hey, my job is to make you wealthy. Everybody's here, and they, as they should be, to take part for their own selves. So no one else can take responsibility instead, except for yourself. Cool?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a lot, the process.
It's a lot. It's good. Like it.